Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on 19th June 2014 as part of Thursday live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Let us first offer our most loving and reverential salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Mother Sai. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we value every moment of your precious presence in our lives and strive to be instruments of your love, to be reflections of your message and your glory. With these words, let's move on and welcome dear listeners to a fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today, we will learn a bhajan adoring our Lord Bhagwan as the Divine Mother. This bhajan is in the language Sanskrit and the first line goes like this.
Samba Vinodini Shiva Sai Shankari.
So that is the bhajan we will learn now, and as always, let us first become familiar with the lyrics and then we'll move on to the raga, the beat, the meaning of its every word, and in the end we will listen to a short excerpt of a conversation with Brother Sonam, a former student of Baba's University who has been blessed with many compositions and has had the chance to sing in front of Bhagwan for several decades. So that is coming up towards the end of the program. For the moment, let us get familiar with the lyrics.
Samba Vinodini Shiva Sai Shankari Mangala Gauri Mata Maheshwari Akhilandeshwari Raja Rajeshwari Daya Sagari Parama Kripakari.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learning the tune of this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Then you will hear Brother Anirudh follow him after every line. You too, dear listeners, please join Anirudh. This will help you grasp the tune of this bhajan.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale D Pancham.
Samba Vinodini Shiva Sai Shankari.
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 Mangala Gauri Mata Maheshwari.
Mangala Gauri Mata Maheshwari.
Mangala Gauri Mata Maheshwari.
Mangala Gauri Mata Maheshwari.
Akhilandeshwari Raja Rajeshwari.
Akhilandeshwari Raja Rajeshwari.
Akhilandeshwari Raja Rajeshwari.
Akhilandeshwari Raja Rajeshwari.
Gaya Sagari Param Kripakari.
Daya Sagari Param Kripakari.
Daya Sagari
परम कृपा कर
गया सागरी परम कृपा करे
सांबविनोदिनी शिव साई शंकरी
So that is the beautiful tune of this bhajan. Ravi Kumar and Anirudh demonstrated it for all of us. And now let us move on. And for those who love to play this bhajan in different musical instruments, let us try to unravel what are the swaras behind this lovely composition. Anirudh is here with us in the studios. So tell us, Anirudh, what is the raga that makes this bhajan?
Saram Vishu, this is a very unique composition in a raga called Suryakantam.
Okay.
In the Carnatic music. In raga Suryakantam, it sounds very simple. Like you have all the seven notes, Sampurna raga, just like Shankaravarnam, Bilaval, with Re Komal.
Okay.
In Bilaval.
That's the only difference.
Yeah, that's the only difference. Just change of one note, I'll show you how the feel is totally different. Drastically,
yes.
It's different. And the mood is very meditative, morning raga.
Yes.
The notes of this raga are Sa Re Ga Ma Pa Dha Ni Sa Sa Ni Dha Pa Ma Ga Re Sa. So, just by hearing the Arohana Avarohana itself, it is very meditative and
Absolutely.
Sublime. So, in this raga, you have Sa Re Re is Komal.
Yes.
And as I told you, all the other notes are Shuddh.
Shuddh Sa.
Ga Ma Pa Dha Ni Sa.
In Shankaravarnam, it is Sa Re Ga Ma Pa Dha Ni Sa.
Sanidapa magare sa
Shankaravarnam.
Yes.
Sanidapa magare sa.
Wow. If you can just, do a small alap to give us what is the change in impact just by the differentiation of that one note.
Yeah, I'll attempt.
Yeah, sure.
Is very powerful here in this raga.
Really?
Re Re Re.
So that what you say, that glide to the Re note.
Yes.
Or that Re note itself is very deep.
Yes.
And whereas in Shankaravarnam it is very light and
Sa Re.
Yes.
Sa Re.
That really almost sends you into a trance.
Yeah.
It's a very meditative raga. Wonderful. So Anirudh, shall we move on with the bhajan? if you can do the swaras for every line.
Yeah, definitely. So when we write down the swaras for each line, so we'll know how the composition is and what is the thought process involved behind this bhajan.
Yes.
Sambhavinodini Shiva Sai Shankari Sagagapadhada Sasanidapadapa
Sagagapadhada Sasanidapadapa
Sambhavinodini Shiva Sai Shankari Sa 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 ni sa ni sa ni da pa pa da da pa ma pa pa pa
Sa 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 ni sa ni sa ni da pa pa da da pa ma pa pa pa.
And if you look at the bhajan, in the first line we sing it three times as a three different variations. So in the third variation actually
Sambhavinodini.
So that variation is little diverting away from the Suryakantam raga because the
Sa sa ni re sa sa.
That re is shudri. Whereas if you tell me to sing the variation in this raga, it would have been
Sambhavinodini Shiva Sai Shankari Sa sa ni re sa sa.
So actually you have both the rays in this.
Yeah, but if you see, we can tell that it belongs to
Suryakantam.
Suryakantam with a small variation of that re.
Just like most of the bhajans are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sambhavinodini Shiva Sai Shankari Sa sa ni re sa sa pa da da pa ma pa pa pa
Sa sa ni re sa sa pa da da pa ma pa pa pa
Mangala Gauri Mata Maheshwari Da 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 sa da pa ma Gama pa ma re sa sa
Da 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 sa da pa ma Gama pa ma re sa sa
Akhilandeshwari Raja Rajeshwari Sa 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 ni pa da 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 Sa sa ni pa da da da
Sa 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 ni pa da 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 Sa sa ni pa da da da
In the second time of this line, you have a beautiful expression of Suryakantam raga.
Okay.
Akhilandeshwari Raja Rajeshwari Sa 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 ni pa da 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 sa ni re sa ni pa da da da
Sa 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 ni pa da 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 sa ni re sa ni pa da da da
Daya sagari param kripa kari Da da pa sa da pa ma Gama pa ma re sa sa
Da da pa sa da pa ma Gama pa ma re sa sa
So that was lovely. So what are the other Sai bhajans in this raga, Anirudh?
This is a...
Not a raga in which you have many Sai bhajans,
yeah,
right?
Not many bhajans are there in this.
Yeah.
I don't know whether any other bhajan is there in Suryakantam raga.
Okay.
We have to maybe explore a little more.
Yes. Maybe listeners, dear listeners, if you find any bhajan in Suryakantam, please let us know.
Yeah.
Because we are unable to really find perhaps a bhajan which is exactly fitting into Suryakantam.
Yeah, correct. But whereas if you see the raga Bhatiyar, there is a raga Bhatiyar in Hindustani classical music, where it has the similar feel of the Suryakantam.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the way the Arohana, Avrohana, everything is different in Bhatiyar.
Though the Swaras are same.
Swaras, yeah. Swaras are same. So, if you ask me some other bhajan, what comes to my mind is...
Neela megha shamala ghana sham sundara.
It's a beautiful bhajan. In, I think it's... In Bhatiyar feel.
Yes.
Not, I don't know exactly which raga it belongs to.
Yes.
But if for a first time listener, maybe he can just classify the, okay, this bhajan sounds similar to this.
Correct.
Okay, like that.
Yeah.
And one more bhajan.
Narayana Hari Narayana Bhajanarayana Sai Narayana.
It is a bhajan where you have so many ragas.
Yeah.
So in this bhajan, if you take the second line,
Narayana Hari Narayana Narayana Sai Narayana.
So you can relate
yes, that is
it
the,
to Bhatiyar or Suryakantam.
Bhatiyar feel.
Yeah.
Wow. Beautiful.
And of course it changes, the next line changes.
Narayana yeah. Hari Narayana.
Completely different. Yes.
So there are not so many bhajans composed
yeah.
in this
but maybe we should
raga. It's a rare raga also.
Yeah, explore yeah. if there are more bhajans in this same feel at yeah. least. So shall we move on to the beat, Anirudh?
Yeah, the beat of this bhajan is 8 beat, yeah. Adi Talam. And the count is 1. 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1
Sambhavinodini Shiva Sai Shankari
Sambhavinodini Shiva Sai Shankari. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Arvind Sai, for that display on the Kanjira, and Anirudh for everything.
Thank you, Bishu.
Thank you, Bishu.
Salam.
Now that we are done with the lyrics, the tune, the raga and the tala of this bhajan, let us move on to the most vital aspect of bhajan singing, bhava, the feeling with which we must render this bhajan. And to develop the correct bhava, we have to understand the meaning of its every word. So let's start with the first line. And this first line is sung in 3 variations of tune.
Sambhavinodini Shiva Sai Shankari Sambhavinodini Shiva Sai Shankari Sambhavinodini Shiva Sai Shankari.
Here the first word is Samba, coming from Sa and Amba. Sa means divine and Amba means mother. The second word is Vinodini, which means she who plays or delights in. This name is one of the 1000 names of the divine mother in the sacred Lalita Sahasranamam. In this sacred mantra, the goddess is described as Leela Vinodini, which means the one who delights in divinely sport. The third word is Shiva. Literally, Shiva means auspiciousness, goodness, prosperity. And Sai, the last but one word, means literally divine mother, because Sa means divine and I means mother. Shankari, the last word, refers to Mother Parvati, the consort of Shankara, which is another name of Lord Shiva. Sham and Kari, this is how Shankari can be split as. Sham means goodness and Kari means she who bestows or who causes. So Shankari means the goddess who bestows all goodness and prosperity. There is a beautiful experience of an American devotee, John Grants, which was published in the May 1979 issue of Sanatan Sarathi. Mr. John was attending the University of Madras in Chennai during 1979-80. One day, he went with a classmate to the famous Kapalishwara temple in South Chennai, which is dedicated to Lord Shiva. As he passed through the huge gate of the outer temple walls, he could see various signs that said, "Non-Hindus not allowed." Mr. John had heard about such signs, but in all the years that he had been in India, he had never encountered such a sign. So when he saw these boards, he told his friend to go inside and said that he would rather wait outside. And soon an old man approached him and said, "Please do not feel offended or think badly of these people. This is merely the custom here." But Mr. John did not reply, and the old man then went away. At this point, Mr. John then began talking to Swami in his mind, and he said, "Swami, will this custom prevail forever? You yourself are Shiva, And although if I have seen you, for strange reasons I am forbidden to enter this temple. Is not God the Lord for everyone? So this is the mental conversation that he was having with Bhagwan. And just at this time, another old man came up to him and said, "Come, but Mr. John says that his righteous pride rose up, and so he did not move, he did not go into the temple." But the old man repeated again, "Come, come." And so finally, Mr. John followed him inside the temple. And as they began to circumambulate the shrine, the old man moved his hand, and to the surprise of Mr. John, it was full of vibhuti. And the old man then smeared this vibhuti over the forehead of Mr. John. Next, the old man reached over to the idol of a goddess, which was carved into a rock. He took some kumkum from the idol and again applied this kumkum on Mr. John's forehead. Mr. John was simply amazed at what was happening that morning. But this is not all, there was more to come. They continued walking around and soon approached the main shrine of Lord Kapalishwarar. And the old man now said, "Look." And Mr. John now had the darshan of the linga form of the Lord to his heart's content. And then the old man now led Mr. John to the concert of Lord Kapalishwar, and she had the darshan of the mother too. And after, his heart was full of the sacred opportunity and this blessing of having the darshan of the Lord and the mother. Then the old man said, "Now you can go." Needless to say, John was absolutely thrilled by that extraordinary blessing that he had received. And the next day, he left for Puttaparthi. And very interestingly, when he reached Puttaparthi, Swami inquired with him if he really enjoyed the darshan. He says, "Some people call this the miracle, that is this transcendence of space and time. But to me, the real miracle lies in his infinite care. As quickly as one turns towards him, he is there with his compassion, ready to respond. This was such a small, simple act, but to me it represented his greatest miracle, and that is his love." So that is how the most auspicious one, Shiva Shankari, is Samba Vinodini. The energy principle of the Lord delights in the Lord. So in this line, we bow down to the Supreme Mother Sai, who is not only Lord Shiva, but verily Shiva Shakti. She is the one who revels in beautiful manifestations and miracles all the time, and he fills us, he delights us with the joy supreme. She is the one who is eternally bestowing all that is good and auspicious upon us. Let's move on to the second line.
Mangala Gauri Mata Maheshwari.
The first word here is Mangala, which means auspicious. The second word is Gauri, which is another name for Mother Parvati, and it means she who is of fair or golden complexion. In our scriptures, we have goddess who is described as Kali, the dark complexioned one. Also, we have goddess who is adored as Gauri, the golden hued one. So we can choose whoever appeals to us. It is the same divine energy that pervades in everything in this universe. And she is Mangala. She is auspicious. The third word is Mata, which means mother. Maheshwari comes from Maha and Ishwari. Maha means greatest. Ishwara is an often used name for Lord Shiva. So Ishwari refers to Mother Parvati, his consort. Swami says Ishwara means the repository of all the resources essential for prosperity. Swami confers on us the Aishwarya of Jnana, that is the prosperity of wisdom. And that is why we can say that his consort Ishwari too is the source of all things auspicious. It is a tradition among Hindu families for married women to perform Gauri Puja, which is dedicated to adoring Mother Gauri on Fridays that occur in the month of Shravana, according to the Hindu calendar. Many decades ago, on one such Friday, a Hindu couple wished to worship the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan by performing this particular puja. They requested Swami and he graciously gave them the permission. So they gathered all the required materials for the puja but could not get black beads, which are essential for this ritual. In some Hindu traditions, black beads are considered auspicious and are strung in necklaces and are worn by married women. At the appointed hour, Swami arrived and took his seat. And in their excitement, the couple totally forgot that the black beads were not available. And they commenced the ceremony. Suddenly, a big black ant crawled out of a flower offered at Swami's feet. And looking at that, Swami smiled. And then Swami said, "What? Are you worshipping me with black ants?" And then, with a mischievous smile, Swami picked up the crawling ant and now placed it in the hand of the lady. And to the utter amazement of the couple, the ant, as you can imagine, suddenly changed into two black beads. The only thing lacking for the puja was provided by Mother Sai herself. The lady was so pleased that Bhagwan enabled her to complete the ceremony so satisfactorily in accordance with the prescribed procedure. So that is how the Lord confers on us that satisfaction, that auspiciousness. Mangala Gauri Mata Maheshwari, we respectfully bow down to the Supreme Goddess who is eternally auspicious. She provides us with everything that is good, that is sacred. Let's move on to the third line.
Akhilandeshwari Raja Rajeshwari.
The first word here is Akhilandeshwari. Akhila, under, and Ishwari. Akhila means all, under means universe. Ishwari is the energy principle that maintains the cosmos. So Akhilandeshwari means she who is the goddess of all universes, of all creation. Once during a dining session with Bhagwan in Kodaikanal, Dr. Voleti Chaudhary, the eminent cardiac surgeon who is presently the director of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Puttaparthi, he asked Bhagwan, "Swami, how do you manage with just 300 calories of food per day?" Dr. Chaudhary said, "Swami, our physiology books tell us that a person needs 10 calories per pound. And you weigh about 150 pounds. How is it possible for you to manage with so little amount of food?" And Swami instantly replied, "It is simple. All of you spend energy, whereas I create energy. He is the one who sustains everything, not just in this universe, but in all universes. And that is why we hail her as Akhilandeshwari." The next phrase is Raja Rajeshwari, which means she is the supreme goddess. The Vedas declare Matru Devo Bhava, revere mother as God. In Indian culture, the mother is always accorded the foremost position. Swami has also emphasized this on countless occasions. He has always said that we should revere our physical mothers and that we automatically earn God's grace by doing so. On another occasion, Swami said, "There is no need to propitiate Durga, Lakshmi and Saraswati for energy, for material prosperity and worldly knowledge. If only we love and adore our own mothers, we shall be showing our love and devotion to all the goddesses." On the eve of Christmas Day in 1972, in a discourse, Swami said that even a little sign of gratitude to our mothers will touch them and make them happy. Explaining this, Swami said, "An envelope might just cost 1 paise, and inside it, the bit of paper might be shoddy and soiled. The scribbling on it might be full of blotches and the letters might be higgledy-piggledy. But when the child writes to the mother reads and appreciates the letters with tears of joy. On the other hand, the envelope might be a deluxe one costing 10 rupees and the letters might be gold and printed in choice antique type in aristocratic press. But the mother will not be interested even to look at it if there is nothing written on it by her child. Swami says, the mother seeks love, she craves for gratitude and she thirsts after sympathy. The mother values feeling, not external display. She does not appreciate demonstrative trappings like an extending this. Swami said, the Divine Mother too is moved in a similar manner. He is moved by the same feeling. She does not appreciate demonstrative trappings like matted hair, rosaries, marks on the forehead or sacerdotal robes. What the Divine Mother values is sincerity, is yearning, is virtue, is compassion. What she likes is love. And that is how one must revere one's mother as well as the Divine Mother. There is a beautiful incident in the life of the great saint Adi Shankara, which Bhagwan has narrated on many occasions. The father of Shankara was a regular worshipper of Goddess Rajarajeshwari for many years. Every day after finishing his prayers, he used to offer milk first to the goddess and then distribute the remaining milk to his wife, son and others as prasadam. Once when Shankara was 4 years old, the father had to visit a neighboring village. So he told Shankara, "Son, your mother cannot perform the worship today, which I do every day. You better do the worship today." And after the father left, little Shankara followed the father's instructions. He filled a tumbler with milk, placed it before the image of the goddess, and he prayed, "O mother, please accept this offering of milk." And he continued to pray intensely, but the milk remained untouched. So he went on crying, "O mother, when my father offered the milk, you had it. Why are you not taking it when I am offering? Please accept this offering." And he was in deep distress and he wondered if there's any lapse on his part. He became desperate and he cried, "Mother, if you do not take the milk, I will just end my life here and now. Because I cannot dishonor my father's word. I will also be guilty of failing to fulfill my mother's command. If I cannot please my parents, what is the use of my living?" This is what the 4-year-old Shankara prayed to the mother. And listening to such heartfelt prayer from the little one, the goddess was moved by the innocent entreaties of this little Shankara, and she appeared before him and said, "O child, I am immensely pleased with your devotion. I shall definitely drink this milk." And she did. She drank all the milk offered in the tumbler. Now little Shankara was happy but at the same time terrified because the tumbler was completely empty. And he again cried, "Oh mother, my mother will think that I have drunk all the milk. Please give me something as prasadam. My father used to give some milk as prasadam to others also. Therefore please restore some of the milk in the tumbler, please." And now the goddess appeared again and told the boy it was not possible for her to bring back the milk that had been consumed. And so saying, she vanished. And little Shankara was in such deep distress again because he felt that he would get scolded by his mother. So he prayed to the Divine Mother again, "Please, mother, give me at least a little quantity of milk." And the goddess yielded to his intense prayers again. And now the Divine Mother drew milk from her own breast and gave it to the little one. Swami explained that it was the sacred power of this sacred milk that enabled Adi Shankara in later years to master all the scriptures and earn lasting fame as a great spiritual master. So in this line, Akhilandeshwari Rajarajeshwari, we hail the Divine Mother as the energy principle that sustains all the universes. She is the one who is pleased with sincerity, with heartfelt yearning for her grace. Let's move on to the last line.
Daya Sagare Paramakripa Kare.
The first word here is Daya, which means compassion. Second word is Sagari, which means she who is the ocean of. During the summer of 1995, Swami permanently cured a terrible eye infection that Dr. G. Venkatraman, the director of Radio Sai, had been battling for a few years. He suffered from conjunctival hemorrhage or bruises under the eye membrane, and this led to bleeding of his eye 2 or 3 times a year. During the summer course which Dr. Venkatraman attended that year, 1995,
he had the worst eye bleed and he could not even look at himself in the mirror. And during a session in the Thrai Vrindavan, Dr. Venkatraman did not want to be seen in that way, so he sat inconspicuously in a corner of the room. But in spite of this, Bhagavan saw his suffering and he instantly materialized eye drops that were cool, healing and soothing. And Dr. Venkatraman says after that day, that problem never recurred again. That is the supreme compassion of the Divine Mother, Daya Sagari. And the next phrase is Parama Kripakari. Parama is supreme. Kripakari again can be split into Kripa, which means grace, and Kari, which means she who bestows. Once Bhagavan explained about divine grace and said, "My grace is ever with you. It is not something that is given or taken. It is always given and it is accepted by the consciousness that is aware of its significance." Win the grace of your own subconscious, Swami said. Because only when you win the grace of your own subconscious, you will be able to accept the grace of God, which is ever available. So the Divine Mother's grace is always there. It is just that we have to tune ourselves to receive it. So in this line, Daya Sagari, Parama Kripakari, we hail the Mother as the ocean of compassion. She is truly the one who bestows supreme grace upon us. The one who's ever eager to fill our hearts with her bountiful blessings. So with that, we have attempted to understand to some extent the meaning of every word of this bhajan. And now, let us listen to the Mandir version of this bhajan as it is sung by the students of Bhagwan's University in the Prashant Nilayam Mandir. Before we end this program, here is a short excerpt of a conversation with Brother Sonam from Sikkim, a gifted singer and also composer of many Sai bhajans. Brother Sonam now shares some of his indelible moments living and singing at the lotus feet of the Lord.
I just composed a bhajan and Just one thought was gripping me at that point of time. This feel. Nidha magare. So this type of feel I was getting in Yemen. I was thinking if there could be a bhajan, you know, which would feel, which would have this type of feel. And then I had just put together this song. Mata Maheshwari Tribhuvana Janani. And just, I had, there was one very beautiful Carnatic classical singer who learned so much from Bhagwan, whom Swami taught, spends hours on and teaching him Tyagraj Kritis. And this very lucky, blessed person, Arun Kumar Tiwari, he wanted to sing this bhajan and I was telling him this song. I was just teaching him this bhajan, Mata Maheshwari, and straight V. Kumar came into the music room and he told me, hey, what about me, man? I have to sing one new composition. Because the feel was not that there was, it was not a competition that you are singing a new song, I'll sing a new song. That was not the thing. The fact that every day Swami expected you to sing a new composition. Oh, that was the challenge.
That was one golden period.
What a wonderful period.
For Prashanti Mandir bhajans.
Prashanti Mandir bhajans. That golden period is even today. Because we are singing almost, yes. You know, I hear so many beautiful compositions happening, yes, even today.
Yes.
Because I know, Vishu, that this is a trend which will go on and on and on forever. You know, yesterday we were singing, we were composing. Today our young brothers are sitting here and composing. Tomorrow there will be someone else who will be doing the same thing.
Yes.
But Prashanti will go on and on forever.
Yes.
Because this is a culture which is, you know, this is a spiritual culture that has that type of basis, that type of foundation. And it's founded on, you know, the, on Sanatan.
Yes, yes.
And Sanatan has to go on.
In many of your bhajans you have that word Sanatan.
Yeah.
Adi Sanatana.
Yeah, yeah.
Because without a beginning and similarly, Prashanti is the source of Prashanti, is someone who is infinite.
Exactly.
Therefore, the journey of this place also is going to be endless.
Exactly. And I still remember when Arun Kumar Tiwari sang this bhajan, he told me that Swami told him later on that the last line you sing it properly. What I'm trying to tell you is, you know, Swami's interpersonal indulgence in a bhajan, you know, wherein he would come personally and tell you that this is where you are going wrong. This is where you need to put more expression. You know, that is what actually happened to Arun Kumar Tiwari when he was singing this. This has undergone another metamorphosis also at a later time. The composition was Shiva Mana Mohini. But you remember that time when Swami said, no Shiva Mana Mohini. And no Parvati, Shiva Parvati, and no Radha Krishna.
Yes.
So during that time,
there was a phase.
Yeah. So Shivavan Mohini became Tribhuvana Mohini.
Yes.
And it was so beautiful again. Yes. Another expression of Swami. Through,
that made the bhajan even more.
Yeah, exactly. Tribhuvana Mohini.
Yes.
So this part, Shiva Mana Mohini, Pap Vinashini. Swami said, make it more profound. And he did something. He used to do a Carnatic type of nuance here. And later on when Sanjeev Barwara sang the same bhajan, that part we used to be very careful. Shiva Mana Mohini Pap Vinashini.
Wow.
Pap Vinashini. Pap Vinashini. So many things we used to do this place.
That's good.
And today, if you look at it,
yeah,
many of our boys, our brothers, they get tempted to do a lot of things here.
Yes.
You know why? Because this was a place which was earmarked by Bhagwan. Make it special, Swami said. Give a good nuance here.
And he gave a beautiful lyric. He made Tribhuvana Mohini.
Yeah. Ved Kalamai Kalyan Daini.
So that was Sonam Gyamso from Sikkim, a long-standing devotee and a former student of Baba's University, who has had the chance to compose many Sai Bhajans and even till this day is very active in the Sai Bhajan movement in India and abroad. And with that, we've reached the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We do hope you enjoyed it and also found it insightful and useful. please do send us your feedback. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. As always, we place this humble offering at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan.
You were listening to an episode of our program Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on 19th June 2014 as part of Thursday Live from Prashanthinilayam on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.